Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Hey, this is BJ. Thanks for listening to our show's podcast. If you're a fan of all things geeky, you should check out my other podcast, BJ Shea's Geek Nation. We have new episodes every day, and you can check it out at bjgeeknation.com.
Your home is going into foreclosure, and you feel like a financial wreck. You don't know where to turn for accurate information. I'm bankruptcy attorney Travis Gagne. Let's talk about some legal options. If we work quickly, we can propose a plan to save your home, modify the loan, or in many cases, even eliminate your second mortgage. The consultation is free. I've helped hundreds of people just like you make informed decisions about whether to save their home or exit it on a reasonable, organized timeline. The chapter you choose sets the tone for the next chapter of your life. Please contact me today at ChooseTheRightChapter.com. That's ChooseTheRightChapter.com.
99.9 KISW, the Rock of Seattle, and Live Day is back, baby. Our show, The Men's Room, will be completely live Thursday, November 21st at Snoqualmie Casino. That's where you're going to be because, well, we're doing it in front of a live audience. That's what makes Live Day so much fun. It's completely live, Steve.
All the sound effects are live. The music that's going to be performed all morning long will be live. Also all afternoon with The Men's Room. So it's going to be a blast with our show, The Men's Room, doing everything live at the Snoqualmie Casino.
The ultimate radio high wire act. And you got to be there. Tickets are on sale as I'm speaking. You want to go to Live Day, November 21st. It's a Thursday, Snoqualmie Casino. Oh, don't forget they got the great show there at Snoqualmie. Go to KISW.com.
Let's play Beat Migs.
It's time to play the game. Yeah. So everybody scream his name. Beat Migs, don't be a loser.
Whoa.
Beat Migs, you're a loser.
It is time to beat Migs,
yeah. But we could whack him instead. It's Whack It Wednesday.
Whack it. See everybody do their Mr. Wacky then.
All right. Woo!
Whack it.
Now I say we could whack him because it's notoriously hard to whack Steve.
Yes. Yeah, it is.
Whack
yes.
it.
Most of the time, he will whack his opponents instead.
Yeah.
He likes to give himself his
college.
Own whack him.
Different story in college, but nowadays.
Yeah. Wow. Wow. And on that note, let's get to our contestant. Yes. We've got Travis and Kent to take on Steve. Travis, are you there?
Yes.
Whack
Excellent.
It.
What's he playing for today?
Tickets to check out The Who. They're going to be over at T-Mobile Park on October 19th. Go to KISW.com for all the details if you want to see The Who. Ooh. Get your tickets now at Ticketmaster.com. Yes, Rev, The Who jokes never goes old with you, does it?
No, it doesn't.
Every day.
Oh, just for the rest
like
of the
owl
week.
In the background.
Ooh.
Yeah. He's a special boy.
All right, Steve, get out of here. For those playing at home, Travis will have 60 seconds to answer 10 questions. Travis, you can pass all you want, but you will only get 3 guesses per question. Are you ready?
Let's whack it.
Which comic book character is known for riding a motorcycle and having a flaming skull for a head?
Ghost Rider.
Yes. The Euro originated in what country?
England.
No.
Great Britain.
No.
Italy.
No! Queen Victoria was the first British royalty to live in which palace?
Buckingham.
Yes! What is the subtitle to the upcoming sequel to Top Gun?
Maverick.
Yes! According to traditional rules, what color of poker chip has the highest value?
Black.
Yes! Who played Willie Mays Hayes in the movie Major League?
Charlie Sheen.
No!
Pass.
What typically blue gem is September's birthstone?
Sapphire.
Yes. In which state does the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame reside?
New York.
No.
LA.
No.
Pass.
The Treaty of Versailles officially ended what major war?
War of 1812.
No. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, correct. Going with the Steve answers there. Unfortunately.
Yeah, well.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll have to see what happens. I don't think Steve's going to get whacked again. But
no, you don't.
He almost surprised us this morning.
Yeah, he did.
But then he surprised me with knowing how many states were actually in the bread basket. Which, I mean, yeah.
And he was wrong by your
yeah. I mean, it's like,
but
that's the problem. It's like there's so many different answers to that one. I'm like, well, whatever.
Yeah.
At least you won.
I wasn't wrong. I was super right. All three of my guesses were correct.
Super right.
According to one Wikipedia page, yes. Steve, are you ready?
It had a .org at the end of it, so it must be real.
Oh, it was? Okay, then yes. It was an organization.
Yes!
Who?
Who?
Wow. Which comic book character is known for riding a motorcycle and having a flaming
Ghost
skull
Rider.
For a head? Yeah,
Nick Cage, bitch. Baby.
The Euro originated in what country?
Europe.
No.
France.
No.
Italy.
No. Queen Victoria was the first British royalty to live in which palace?
Buckingham.
Yes. Nice. What is the subtitle to the upcoming sequel to Top Gun?
Top Gun. We need the money.
No.
Top Gun. We're older.
No.
Hotter.
No, no.
Top Gun. We'll have a sexy volleyball scene in it again.
Well, we hope, but no. According to the traditional rules, what color of poker chip has the highest value?
Black.
Yes. Who played Willie Mays Hayes in the movie Major League?
Oh, crap. Was that Omar Epps?
No.
Wesley Snipes.
Yes.
Nice.
What typically blue gem is September's birthstone?
Agave.
What?
Agave.
What?
Amorous.
No?
How many answers are you
going to
give?
That's three guesses, yeah. In which state does the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame reside?
Cleveland, Ohio.
Yes.
Cleveland Rock.
The Treaty of Versailles officially ended what major war?
The World War II.
No.
World War One.
Yeah, but too late. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It's a tie!
Not too shabby, Travis. You got a prize after all.
Awesome.
All right, you hang on the line. We'll tell you how to get that, buddy. See, Rev, you were surprised, Travis.
It
was a whack your sister kind of moment.
Whack it.
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean.
I'll kiss your sister, whack your sister.
Stepsister, at least.
Yeah, all right, fine.
Whack it.
Can you try to say that birthstone?
I can't, man. I know it, but I can't.
Agatha Christus.
There's no G.
Yeah.
Amorous.
No,
Amorous.
Amethyst.
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 Not fist.
I'm Mike Tyson.
Hammer fist.
I'm going to hit you with my amethyst.
No, it's you're trying to say amethyst, which is still incorrect.
It's not the answer.
It's the sapphire.
That's what I was trying to say.
Oh,
sapphire.
Okay. Yeah. There we go.
It's no Paris phone, but it's close.
The Euro originated in which country?
I'd be guessing. I'll say Scotland.
No, that'd be Greece.
Greece is the one that started this whole thing?
Yeah.
Are you talking about the food or the currency?
The food.
Oh, I thought you said the euro.
I said the euro.
No, I thought you said euro, not
I didn't
yiddo.
Say euro, I said euro.
Yeah, it's actually yiddo.
Oh, okay.
Well, did you think he meant money, Steve? Or did you think he meant the food?
I thought he meant the money.
Euro.
Yeah.
No, it was the food.
You said, we all heard euro.
I heard the food. Right.
Thank you, Danny.
Well, I heard Yanny. Danny.
I thought they were said the same way, so I don't know.
Well, did you say maybe like the food for the listener, but you said like the money for me?
Because
I know euro is in Greece. It's a Greek food.
Yeah.
It's gyro.
Gyro.
Yeah.
I've
gyro.
I've never heard that either.
No, actually, I think it's gyro.
Yeah. I should have said gyro. I think then everyone would have got it.
Yeah, so they call it euros instead of gyros?
No, I said euro.
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 Yeah.
Euro.
Yeah,
euro.
He said euro.
He's saying, you're saying euro like
I'm saying
European.
Euro.
It's gyro, not euro.
I just said euro.
You're saying euro.
I'm saying the exact same way
you
just said it.
I said euro. You said euro.
Euro.
Okay.
This is why I don't do pronunciations
like this.
Because
like,
BJ and I are saying the exact same thing, and
well,
you're saying now.
No, actually, you were saying euro. Now you are saying euro. You were saying euro, but now you're saying euro.
I agree.
Yeah, I disagree with that.
Well, you changed it because you didn't want to be wrong. Your brain didn't want you to be wrong.
Yeah, of course.
I know food. I might not know money, but I know food. I know where food is from.
Yeah, of course, the euro is from Greece. I want that back.
It's delicious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well,
you
rock
both the listener and Steve.
No, I think the listener's fine with this one. Also, the subtitle to the upcoming sequel to Top Gun, Travis did get correct. It's Maverick.
Is it really?
Yeah, Top Gun : Maverick.
Yeah. Should be the volleyball scene. I agree with you.
Yes.
Yeah.
I have no interest.
Yeah. No, I
never cared about the first movie.
I don't even think I've seen the full one. Yeah, I don't think I've seen it all the way through.
I saw it, but a long time
I don't think
ago.
I need to either.
It's all right.
People get all upset when I say I haven't seen it. I mean, I know enough. I know there's a weird volleyball scene because of YouTube.
They fly jets around.
Yeah. And, like, you know, the whole, like, Val Kilmer and guy stuff.
Yeah, and Tom
Goose Curry. And Maverick and things. Yeah.
You know, it was a time.
Ice, was there a guy named Ice or something?
Yeah. Iceman? Maybe?
This was a time where movies were really about action and this kind of stuff, and I was a superhero guy and always felt like they're never making my movies. I'm sorry, but and it's so funny that now they're making my movies. I bet there's a lot of folks that can't stand superhero movies and want more Top Gun.
Quite possibly. Congratulations to Travis on tying Steve this morning.
Yeah, if you tie or beat Steve, it's a mutual whacking, baby.
Whack it.
And you get the prize. That's how it always works. That's right, man. So congratulations to you and everybody that knows you.
And to Euro.
And to Euro and Euro.
And Euro. And Euro.
Did I make up Euro? I really thought that's how you say it if you're like, you know, if you get that good Greek accent going.
I have no idea. I've only heard it as Euro. I felt like I was cultured because I wasn't calling it a gyro anymore.
Yeah, good job, buddy. Yeah.
They are delicious, though.
They're tasty.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Hey, you know.
Sounds like we're talking about them and they passed away.
Yeah, it's too bad, Euro.
It's a good food.
Yeah.
Made many people happy.
I don't know if you're into those Scream movies, man, because Halloween's coming, and of course it's Scream season. But there's something cool that if you are, you may not want to miss this. There's going to be a party Halloween night at the house that was used in the original 1996 movie, which makes me feel so old to think that the first one came out then.
Oh my gosh.
Wow. 23 years ago, the first Scream movie came out. Tickets are $200 for you to stay in this house. Only 150 of them are available. And you do have to be in costume. Now, it doesn't have to be a Scream costume, but you have to be in costume if you want to go to this party. Which, I mean, if you're going to be partying at a Halloween party at the Scream house, why wouldn't you be in costume or something?
Right. You just wasted all that money, and you're not even enjoying the spirit of Halloween at that point.
Someone actually lives in this house, but they're renting it out for the weekend.
Because they want money.
Who doesn't? And you can take selfies all over the house, like in the garage where Rose McGowan got taken out.
Is Rose McGowan going to be there?
That would make me want to go even more.
Hell yeah.
That's a great idea. That would be a super party if you got to have some of the stars from the movie there. But it would be probably a lot more than $200
yep.
for those tickets. There's also the bedroom where Neve Campbell and Skeet Ulrich, made made some things happen, if you know what I mean. You know? And also you can be in the kitchen. So all over the house. I don't have a clue if it still looks the same in the movie.
Well, I honestly don't remember the movie well enough, but there's the house. I just went to their website. It's ScreamoWeen.net.
ScreamoWeen. Well, I hope they make, they got 150 people. That's how much money? I'm trying to do math on that. 200 times 150?
A lot.
That's like five figures, right?
Plus, they'll have food and drink available for a purchase all night at the house.
Oh, yeah.
I like it says movies on VHS in the living room.
Oh, that's funny.
Jiffy Pop on the stove.
Oh, yeah.
Giveaways and other goodies.
Yeah.
And you can take, like you said, endless selfies all around the house.
Now, it doesn't include you getting there. You have to find a way to get to the Santa Rosa, California area because that's where the house is. So it's in the Santa Rosa area. Okay.
You think they're going to have the ghost face come and scare everyone?
I feel like there's going to be a lot of people dressed as the ghost face.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's probably true.
Yeah. Okay. I would imagine so.
But they should scare everyone. They should have them come and then actually, like, people start getting murdered and it'd be great.
Yeah, it should be another sequel to the movie.
Yeah, that'd be Scream 5. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, that is pretty genius. If all of a sudden, like, the real murderer was there and just started taking out these people who paid to go stay at the house.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a very meta way to do it. It would make my brain hurt trying to figure out how to make it all work, but...
Do these people really die?
No.
Oh, okay, good.
No, it's fiction, man.
Yeah,
like a murder mystery night at, like, a restaurant.
That'd be awesome.
But you go there, and if they're trying to kill you, I mean, you know, what if they accidentally kill you?
See, that's what I mean. It's a little too meta for me.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to stay out on this one.
Somebody might have a heart attack, like maybe me. So that's why I don't know if I could do this.
Yeah, if somebody dies there, just like has a heart attack for whatever reason, maybe they just haven't been eating healthy for the last several years, and they die. Wouldn't you be like at first thinking, oh, this is just part of the game?
Screwing around. What I would think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is there a certain place that you would want to go? Like Halloween, obviously. So thinking about like horror-based or scary
Halloween.
Homes for the season. Any iconic? Because I'm thinking about Camp Crystal Lake would be pretty sick. I don't like. You know,
oh, that would be cool.
Dress up as Jason.
Yeah.
Have some fun.
Yeah.
I think that'd be my pick.
Adam's Family House for sure.
Yep.
Oh, very cool.
They have the ballroom.
Oh, yeah.
They have the big old party.
Wait,
it'd be great.
Original or the movie one?
The movie.
Okay. Yeah, me too.
This is kind of macabre, but I would like to be, I think it was the cemetery scene. Is that where Jesus got killed in The Walking Dead, Rev, when we first met the Whisperers?
Yes.
That's a pretty haunting scene with
that
the
is
fog.
Super creepy.
And then the zombies start talking because, well, spoiler alert, they're not really zombies that are talking. But
what?
Yeah, sorry. That would be kind of cool because it's really freaky looking. And and of course, the Walking Dead zombies are just horrifying.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So that would be kind of cool.
Did you dress up as a zombie?
Oh, I think that would be... everybody wants to. Like, everybody that ever goes on The Walking Dead hopes that they get killed, mm-hmm. and then they get to come back as a zombie. Like, that's their, you know, they go, the worst thing in the world to be on The Walking Dead is to get killed, but somehow they kill you in a way where you can't come back as a zombie. Like, they destroy your brain. So, yeah, I think that would be awesome to see how they'd make me up. I'd love that.
Nice. So it says, I'd want to stay at the hotel in The Shining. See, that would freak me out.
Yes. I feel like art might imitate life.
Yeah, that's too real if I start going crazy. And they got that new movie coming out.
Yep, Dr. Sleep.
Yeah, where his kid's going to go crazy.
Yeah.
Nice.
See, at least with Camp Crystal Lake, I could go for a dip in the pool, in the lake.
Yeah.
That'd be fun.
Yeah. In October.
Are you sure you want to go there?
In October.
Yeah, where is this place located?
I don't know.
Is it California, maybe? Nevada?
Even still. I kind of want to
go Florida?
Yeah, you got to go like even further south because California water gets pretty cold.
Do they have a hot tub maybe next to the lake?
That's what you want to do, yeah.
New Jersey.
Oh yeah, perfect. Beautiful Halloween temperatures in New Jersey. Go for it, Steve.
That's all I need, the phone call to mom.
Hi, Steven, it's mommy. Yeah. How you doing this?
I hear you're staying with Jason. Why aren't you coming over to visit us? We've got some Chinese food. Yeah. Bring Jason with you. You guys hungry?
There we go. Hey, Jason, here you go. You sure you don't want to take that mask off?
We got a knife. He doesn't need to bring a knife.
Oh, that's a good point. It is time for Listeners on the Loose. This is where you get to pick the topic. You get to guide the show. 206-421-ROCK. Text us at 77999. Your calls, your texts at 917 on The Rock.
BJ and Migs, mornings on The Rock, 99.9 KISW.
99.9 KISW, The Rock of Seattle. It's Listeners on the Loose. You pick the topic. You guide the show. 206-421-ROCK. Text us at 77999. It's Listeners on the Loose, brought to you by Beacon Plumbing, Heating, and Mechanical. Hey, Steve.
Yes.
Stop freaking.
Call Beacon.
Stop freaking. Call Beacon.
Grabbing my ding ding.
That's what you got to do. You can call us up, grab your ding ding, do whatever you want to do. You're in charge of this fine program for the next 40 minutes or so. But do remember that Steve has one rule.
It's a simple rule, BJ, and that's to show some energy and bring it. Otherwise, we'll have to gong. And then say goodbye.
Goodbye, old friend.
206-421-ROCK. Text us at 77999. Let's go to Sherry in Shelton. Sherry, you are on The Rock.
Hola.
Hola, Sherry, hola. Don't forget the men's room afternoons right here on The Rock. What you got for us, Sherry?
I have a question, actually. I'm in the mid-50s, and I was raised, like, listening to AC/DC, Styx, and all that.
Oh, Styx,
and
that's going
you
back.
You guys always talk about bands I've never heard of.
Okay.
And so I was wondering if you guys can give me any suggestions of some bands for me to, you know, start listening to that I might like, because I always listen to classic rock, and of course the bands are getting older, and I like tribute bands, but, you know, it's just not the same. So I just wonder if you guys could give me any suggestions on, you know, music that I might like.
Well, she meant, you know, it's funny. She said AC/DC and Styx, Steve. So that's a broad range, I think, of stuff that she would like.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. When I first think AC/DC, I think of a band called Airborne. They have a very AC/DC-like vibe to them that I think you would dig. They're not super new, but they're new compared to AC/DC and Styx. They're very new. The band that I always recommend to everybody, it's just my favorite band right now. They're phenomenal. It's the Glorious Sons. And I think you'll dig them if you just like hard rock music. They have a few records out. I would suggest their last record, not the newest one, Young Beauties and Fools, to start with. And then check out their new one, A War on Everything. But I think that their last one is like instantly a fun record to listen to right off the get-go, as opposed to this one, which I think is better, but it takes a few listens before you really fall in love with it.
So, Sherry, you got two suggestions. You got Airborne, and you got the Glorious Sons. And with the Glorious Sons, he says the Young Beauties and Fools album is the one to start with.
All right. Well, thank you so much.
And check back, Sherry, and check back with us. Let us know what you think of the bands that Steve recommended, because it is not easy. We've talked about this before. It is not easy for humans to like new music. They did a study that said pretty much the stuff you love in your 20s, maybe early 30s, you get locked in and don't want anything that sounds different after those ages.
Yeah, the other band I was going to recommend, because they have a 90s flavor, and that's like my favorite era of music, is the 90s alt-rock, heavy rock kind of era. And it's a band called Frank Carter and the Rattlesnakes, and I was just obsessing over their new record, and I just realized that they're playing tonight at Barboza here in Seattle, and I'm just like, can't pull it off. Aww. As much as I want to see him, I have band practice tonight. I'm not going to get any sleep if I do that.
Boy, I'm really bad, because actually I was listening to Bob Rivers' podcast, and he's got a band that he played on there that I think are going to do their intro for him.
and it's got a Cars-like feel to them, and I can't remember the name of them. They're local. Cars. I don't know if it's if they're from Canada or if they're here, but well, if anybody knows, you can text us because I've forgotten, and I don't have access to the podcast right now to go back and listen to it, so I don't know. but I liked it. I liked the song that Bob actually played at the end of his podcast, which is so interesting. You know, you can get permission on a podcast, and if the band says, sure, play our stuff, you know, that's
they're a local band.
Yeah, that's a new way to get some exposure.
They should sue them then.
Oh, wouldn't that be great?
Yeah, sure, man. Yeah. We never gave him permission.
Yeah, this is horrible. This Bob Rivers guy stole everything from us.
Yeah. Hey, somebody's got a very important question to ask for us.
It is Listeners on the Loose. You pick the topic. You guide the show. What's that?
We've had this problem. Someone says, do you take your shoes off immediately, or do you walk around your house with your shoes on when you get home?
I try to take the shoes off.
Shoes come off.
Shoes and pants are gone.
Shoes, for sure. They don't even make their way in the house.
True.
I know BJ's like a terrorist, and he likes to wear his shoes in his house. So does Danny.
Yeah. That's how I was brought up.
Well, you know what? That doesn't mean that's how you have to be.
Yeah, I look at it this way. The floor is meant to be walked on by whatever you walk on it with. That's how I am.
Dirty-ass shoes on the carpet, man.
What do I care? Well, see, we have, for the most part, the only carpet's in the living room, and the rest of it is basically a floor. It's a hardwood floor, so I look at it like...
Yeah, we have laminate, so I'll keep the socks on so I can slide around. But for the most part, it's take the shoes off.
Wow. How about you, Vic?
I don't like walking around unless I have slippers, but if I'm running through the door, like having to go to the bathroom upstairs or need to bring something, I don't want to like put everything down. I'm going upstairs with the shoes on. I don't care.
So do you guys, how are you when people come to your house? My memory was I got to keep my shoes on.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Shoes off, baby.
My only thing is if they are legit wet and rainy, I would rather you not go on the carpet. But it's all wood downstairs.
And remember at my Super Bowl party, a nice little Seahawks sign with some shoes next to it said, take your damn shoes off.
Yeah, I remember that.
Take your damn shoes off.
Well, I'm prepared for guys like you now, even though it's weird, because my feet get cold, especially in cold weather. It's like, I got to have something on my feet.
We got heat, and we got blankets.
Blankets. How am I going to walk around with a blanket on my feet?
Don't walk around.
You shuffle. Yeah. You shuffle.
Yeah. You just sit there and wait and have us hand and serve you.
I leave slippers in the car now. I've got slippers
in the
car.
Are you serious? You have slippers for other people's house
now? I sure do.
Wow.
How many shoes do you like? You're like the truly radio's Mr. Rogers.
Mr. Fancy.
You get here and you change your shoes.
That's right.
You leave, you change your shoes again.
Yes,
yeah,
sir.
But Mr.
You have slippers in your car.
Mr. Rogers was a nice guy.
Well, that's why I said he's radio's Mr.
Hold on a second. Okay. Why am I the bad guy that I've had to make the adjustment? I wouldn't have to if I got to leave my shoes on, which I don't. I don't ever remember this growing up. I mean, and maybe people didn't have the fanciness of,
we had family members, minute you came in the house, even in the 80s, shoes have to come off.
Not us. We just, you wipe your feet. Like, that's what the whole idea of a carpet was. You wipe the heck out of your feet, then you're able to come into the floor, you know, and that's what I remember, but... You know, I get it. If you got carpet, it's tough. I understand that. But that's why I bring the slippers, because my feet are damn cold, and it's like, I'm going to be at your house for the longest time. You know, that's just like, I'm dying over here.
I'm dying over here.
So I got to have the slippers. And he's got a strict no shoes on rule. And I'm like, yeah.
I remember one time we had a WrestleMania, one wrestling pay-per-view party at my house. And I decided to get had a creative sign for the Super Bowl party. I had a big picture of Hulk Hogan on our door. And it said, Hulkamania says, say your prayers, eat your vitamins, and take your damn shoes off, brother.
Yeah, that's cute.
And then we always make it a point to put a couple of shoes on the outside just as like a hint, take your shoes off.
Oh, yeah.
Stunt shoes.
Yeah, I see that. I mean, I get it. You know, even
did
with,
you just call them stunt shoes?
Yeah.
Yeah, stunt shoes.
Gets the point across.
That's why I got my slippers, man. I'm always ready for you, Steve.
Hey, so it says, guys, I'm a carpet and rug cleaner. Shoes off in the house make a huge difference. You know, I just want to walk around in filth, BJ.
Yeah.
Your home is filthy.
Wow.
Whoa.
I actually.
That's slightly aggressive.
Yeah, that's very, very aggressive. I mean,
I'm very passionate about this.
I walk into my bedroom with my shoes and I go right in and take them off and then I put my house shoes on. I do that.
All right, we got a problem that somebody needs some help with.
Okay.
This is actually a serious problem this time. It says, guys, I need some advice. It seems like whenever my buddies break up with their girlfriends, the girls always come to me and want to have sex with me.
Humble brag.
What do I do? If he's your friend, you don't bang him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or at least wait a few months.
The fact that you have to ask us is you're a typical guy that, of course, you want to have sex. And it's easy sex because they're coming at you.
And he wants to brag.
And they're using him as revenge, probably.
Yeah. I think you're absolutely right.
How many of his friends' exes have done this? Like, it has to be more than two, I would imagine.
Yeah. Let us know how many more have done this. Because, really, you're being used at that point. And if you can get action, you don't need to do this.
I wonder, what his relationship was with these girls. Because normally, when I have a boyfriend, I'm not really too chummy with his, guy friends. So I'm wondering if he was, kind of...
Flirty
with them.
That's the vibe I might be getting.
Yeah.
Oh.
So they're like, he's going to do this.
Yep. Yeah, you're
he's
right.
He's down for revenge sex.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. See, and that's the thing. You cannot be flirty with somebody else's lady. You got to be. You really have to. You have to dial the flirt back. You really do. You just have to. I mean, I don't really like talking to my friends' spouses or you know, because I just don't want to be caught in an uncomfortable situation where maybe I've gone too far, even in a conversation. Just don't want to do it. You know, yeah, I don't want to be too overly flirty. I'd rather not even talk to them. But I mean, I know I have to.
Yeah, typically whenever my friend has a girlfriend, as soon as the relationship ends, unfortunately, that person has passed away in my head. They're just no longer, they don't exist.
Oh, they're dead to you.
I'm not going to be rude to them if I ran into them somewhere, but I'm not going to go out of my way to talk to them. And
see, that's why it's great to not have to even talk to them at all. Then when they're gone, it's like, well, we never had a relationship in the first place.
I don't even know who this person is. I don't even know her name.
I don't care. You know, I mean, that's...
I'm sorry I have forgotten your name.
Because this is what happens. They come to you... And obviously, they don't have any boundaries, and they don't realize the bro code. And you obviously have no boundaries because you've gotten familiar enough with them that they would come to you. I think Vicky's got a point.
No, some girls do know the bro code, and that's what would make the revenge sting even more so. Some girls are bitches.
Maybe that one person says, well, maybe he's known as the guy in the group with the huge package.
Well, even still, I mean, I
Jimmy Big Dong.
Vicky, really? I mean, Jimmy Big Dong, does that make you want to go, like, you know, basically, he's the first guy you go to once you break up with your guy, Jimmy Big Dong?
It's definitely the flirtatious nature. You just got broken up with or you broke up with a guy. You're either mad or sad and you want to feel good. You want to feel wanted. So this guy has been kind of flirty with you this entire time.
He says, I have found them flirting and I try to ignore it. He's texted in a couple of things. He says, it's happened about 6 times.
Whoa.
Damn.
One person says, if you respect your friend, you will ask him if he cares. If not, bang away.
See, there's a way when girls try to get flirty. I'm your expert. Do you want to know how to turn a girl off?
Just ask him to your friend BJ Shea.
Yes, act like me. I don't care how flirty a girl gets. Once she gets a hold of my personality, it's instant birth control.
Right?
Yeah, it really is.
Do the typical BJ line. Tell me about your relationship with your father.
Oh, yeah, that's if you want to get him crying. You know how you turn a girl off? Just start talking about anything you really love and go into every detail. Like for me, I start talking about board games. Every girl's out. She's done for.
Yeah, no one wants to hear about my EverQuest adventures.
Exactly. So as a guy, you can shut that down. So ask yourself why it is 6 times unless you kind of like the girls flirting with you, which there's nothing wrong with that unless you really admit that to yourself. You can't sit there and go, I'm the victim, right? I don't know what to do. You know what? Every guy knows what it's like when women don't talk to you. It's usually you're being an idiot. You know how to be an idiot. And if you don't, just act like me. And no girl will want to talk to you. Yeah. There's, by the way, no disagreement from anybody in the room.
We completely agree.
Yeah, well, there you go. Finally, everybody agrees with me. It is listeners on the loose. You picked the topic.
That you're a turnoff. Yes, you're right.
All right. You know, thank you. I didn't need you to. You know,
terrifying.
Yeah, thanks, man. You picked the topic. You guide the show. 206-421-ROCK. Text us at 77999. More of your calls, more of your texts at 933 on The Rock.
BJ and Migs, mornings on The Rock, 99.9 KISW.
99.9 KISW, The Rock of Seattle's listeners on the loose. You pick the topic. You guide the show. 206-421-ROCK. Text us at 77999. Let's go to Ken in Tacoma. Ken, you are on The Rock.
Hey, morning, guys.
Morning, Ken. Welcome to the show. What you got for us, buddy?
So I heard that recently we lost a drumming legend, Ginger Baker, the other day.
Yeah, I know, man.
And it made me think about our boy Steve here. Steve, and I was just wondering, as a musician, when you're going to go play, is there something that you find yourself playing more often than not? Do you go to the set looking to play something already pre-planned? How does your process go usually when you're at home?
Oh, you know, at home, a lot of times I don't really play much at home, but whenever I get behind a kit, I just usually just start with a real basic drum beat just to kind of get warmed up, and then I'll usually think about a song that I like and just kind of play along with it in my head until we start jamming. Yeah, for the most part, it's really basic. I just want to get the feel of whatever drum set I'm behind because every drummer puts their stuff all so different and weird, and so I just want to make sure I'm, like, okay with wherever anything is or making the adjustments before I actually have to play a show. If I'm not using my own drum set, even if I'm using my own drum set, I'm the worst at putting it back exactly the way it was. It's always a new adventure.
And I wonder if there's any portion of any song or something that you find yourself playing more often than not, sort of something that gets stuck in your brain.
I mean, for a while, it would be like the opening drum lick to Smells Like Teen Spirit, just because it's fun.
Okay.
Or even like Stone Temple Pilots, some of their stuff as well. Like or Metallica, forget it. Like I'll just do the dumb. If there's a drum double bass pedal, I'll do the little lick for Metallica's One.
Oh, nice.
And I don't do it well. I just do it though anyway because it's. I feel like Lars. I feel like Lars on a Coke bender when he wasn't playing very well.
Wow.
And also, you're not a D-back, so you know there's that.
That's true. I appreciate that.
Well, there we go.
Hey, I always had a good experience with Lars. I know some people say bad things about the dude, but I've always had a good experience in it. Granted, he's trying to sell something when we talk to him, but
yeah,
he's always been a good dude.
Well, we've had this conversation, and I'm going to bring it up because we've got some friends of ours that were just honored for a really cool award, and they got a call from somebody within their world that they do in radio, and it was a real luminary. And we talked about, you and I talked about how in our business we've come to find out that a lot of these musicians in the world of rock, social interaction not their favorite thing. Even when we have people in studio who we know and we've made comfortable, you can tell that it's just, you know, they would rather not be out mixing and having all the attention. And I think that's something that, you know, if you have anxiety, I know I do, and might get panic attacks. And I've just seen it a lot in our genre. And sometimes a guy like Lars could be completely misunderstood, that he just might be tripping and doesn't know how to deal with it, maybe not aware of it, and maybe other things, who knows, that he's doing to maybe treat maybe something, who knows?
Yeah, and Lars had his experiences maybe not, you know, not being necessarily in the right state of mind for a period of time.
That would be that self-soothing, self-medication. That
some people hyper for some reasons,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, that always makes you a little bit less than, you know, agreeable.
But, dude, you know what will change your opinion on Lars, at least, unless you've had a personal experience where he pissed you off? And,
what are you gonna
how do you argue that? If someone had a bad experience with somebody, that's maybe you call them a bad day, but, you know, you can't argue that. But if you watch, he did like an interview series, I think it was for like Beats or something. It's like a black and white video interview series and he interviewed Dave Grohl. If you look that one up, you really see a different side of Lars. Granted, he's talking to someone who's a peer, so maybe he acts differently when he's with somebody that he feels is on the same quote-unquote level as him. But he just seems like a really cool, engaging guy and honestly does a great job interviewing David Grohl. I don't know why I called him David, but I did. It was important.
Oh, David Grohl.
Mr. David.
Hello, Mr. David Grohl.
Very official conversation. Yeah, but Lars came off like a real likable guy in that. But, I mean, I've also seen and heard stories where not everybody had a good time with Lars Ulrich.
Yeah, and I've got plenty of stories like that with different people that I've encountered over the years in the business, but I just cannot judge them, 100% of the interaction. But there was one particular movie star that I had a bad experience the first time, and I thought, oh gosh, I'm going to have to work with this guy again. Second time, it was great.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it's like, okay, maybe that person was having a bad day.
I remember one time I got to interview Billy Corgan and James Iha at the time from the Smashing Pumpkins, and it was in Bellevue at a record store. And, I mean, I was read the riot act from the label to other people in the industry. Like, they were telling me, hey, what not to talk to them about. But also, everyone was warning me, these guys are the worst. They're going to treat you like, you know, get in there, be prepared. They're going to just be a-holes. They were the two nicest guys.
Something?
I mean, it's all relative, I guess. It's on the day that you talk to them. Maybe they're just in a good mood that moment. Maybe, I don't know what it was, but even somehow the conversation came up of like, oh, I was told not to ask those questions because they brought something up. And they're like, screw our publicist. Just ask whatever you want. And I just started asking them random questions, and they were cool as all hell. It was pretty awesome.
It's funny how sometimes a publicist will go overboard to protect them from something that they never asked to be protected from.
Yep.
Or maybe they believe, you know what, that's not what we want to focus on. We just want to focus on the album. And so I believe sometimes a publicist will just, all they care about is working for the company, the promotion company. And it never even is anything that anyone asked for.
They just assume the worst.
Yeah. And so we've had that happen a couple times. You know me, I get angry when someone says, well, you know, you can't talk to somebody about something. I'm like, well, what are they doing on the show?
Why are they talking?
Well, I mean, seriously, what does anybody care about them except this? And yes, we'll also promote the other thing, but nobody cares about
that. They have a book about gardening they're trying to promote, BJ.
Yeah. Yeah, well,
I don't know.
And we've done a good job of being able to figure that out. And we had a great, like, the guy I was afraid of that we had a great time with was Billy Bob Thornton.
Oh, Billy was awesome.
But I was afraid because I, you know, Billy's got great attitude and I feel like he doesn't suffer fools. And so I was nervous thinking, like, I hope we do right so that at least it'll be a good interview. And of course, like you said, Billy was great.
The best part about Billy was that he weighed in on the whole pineapple on pizza debate.
Yeah,
he wasn't for it, which made me dislike him a little bit.
Yeah, that made me wonder.
That's his best quality, guys. Yeah. I don't know what you're talking about.
I was thinking we should put Billy Bob on the Do Not Fly list at that point.
But he wasn't 1,000% against it. So that's why he was just like, you know what? It depends on how you prepare it and put it on it. He was worried about it getting soggy.
He was really Switzerland at that moment. That's when you knew that Billy Bob really should be running this country. You know, he knew how to make the pineapple and non-pineapple people come together.
And with today being International Pizza and Beer Day, it's the perfect day to enjoy yourself a nice pineapple pizza.
No. That's what I'm going to do today, Danny.
With a pumpkin spice beer, just to piss everybody off.
Oh, I'm taking a picture. Yeah. I am doing because I'm going to Mod Pizza later on. I'm going to take a picture and I'm going to put corn on there because that was a new thing that people turned me on to.
Yeah, that's weird.
It's good.
It's only weird because you haven't tried it yet.
Yeah.
I guess that's true. Yeah,
and they got it there.
I haven't either.
I
also think it's weird.
Mod Pizza's been ahead of the curve because why would they have it there for me to have if it wasn't a condiment? Because, you know, if you don't know Mod Pizza, you get to build your pizza right there the same way that you build a Subway sandwich.
It's like a bear. You build it.
Hey, you build the Mod. It's the Mod Build-A-Bear Pizza.
Hey. And people were wondering if you've seen Joker yet, but that's
today.
That's what you're doing today.
Yeah. Right after this fine show, we're going to go see Joker. One of my buddies... he's one of my board game buddies, and a lot of times he makes me look like I'm always happy. He didn't like it. I just read his post.
Oh, shocking.
Yeah, he didn't like it.
The same guy as normal?
Yeah, he doesn't like anything. I mean, honestly, he hates everything. Which is, you know, at some point I'm going to have to sit him down and say, dude, have you thought of maybe getting some sunshine or something? Because you don't like anything. And he'll probably be like, you ever meet those people? Oh, yeah, it's probably me. Who don't realize how much they're negative.
Yeah, I like the guy, but I mean, you could call him Eeyore.
Yeah, it's amazing. And you know, of course, maybe why I can hang with him
is the Debbie Downers, man.
He probably reminds me of me a little bit. It's just like, is everything bad?
He makes you look like an optimist.
Yeah, I want to see him say he likes something. You know, but I don't know if I'll ever see it. I just don't know if I'll ever bring up some life cereal. Yeah, that's it.
Hey, I mentioned Billy Corgan. Can I give a quick shout out to Billy Corgan? Not that he's listening.
Steve.
Here we go.
Give it out a shout.
All right. Billy also owns NWA Wrestling, the old school NWA from back in like the old days.
He's into wrestling too?
Oh, he's obsessive. Super obsessed.
It's amazing how many people are into wrestling.
But it's always been his thing to want to own his own promotion. He's helped in past promotions that didn't go well, but this he finally bought the rights of the name. Really didn't buy anything else other than the rights to be able to use the name NWA, which was the National Wrestling Alliance. And also to be able to have their iconic championship belt to use however he wants. He's now owned it for a few years, and he's finally put together an actual promotion with it. And they just had their debut show last night, and they're putting it on the internet right now because he was like, you know what? I don't want to bow down to networks that were trying to tell him what to do. He's like, let's just build an audience first, and then they'll have to take it as it is. And their first episode was on YouTube last night and Facebook and all that. It had a good turnout as far as the number of people watching it, and it's old school style. So they have the wrestling done in a studio with a studio audience, not in a venue.
Oh.
It's a huge nod to the 80s, and the vibe of it is very old school and nostalgic while having, you know, a newer style of wrestling. And it was really well done, and I was super pumped for him because I know this has been like a passion of his, and he was able to have it happen and pulled it off, and all the reviews about it from other people have been very positive. So shout out to Billy Corgan from the Smashing Pumpkins for a successful first wrestling show.
This is so weird. This is crazy, but boy, wrestling is just seems like it's getting huge again.
Yes.
Like, I mean, it's on Fox television now.
It's on Fox. It's AEW's blowing up right now. Huge numbers for them.
Okay.
Not everyone, obviously. There's people who don't like, but a lot of people are talking about it. People that were once a wrestling fan, maybe as a kid, you always hear that. I used to like it when I was a kid, are all of a sudden finding it to be entertaining again.
I really would like to know, I put it out there before. I want to know what's more popular in the U.S., wrestling or Major League Baseball. And I'm a big MLB fan, but it's tough. I'm telling you, that's what I'm saying. Now, great, internationally, it could be a whole different story, though I know wrestling's got a good international following, too. So I would like to know. A lot of people get mad at us every once in a while when you start talking wrestling, but I'm thinking it's got some popularity that I don't know what's more popular, that or MLB.
It's hard for me to, because I never really view it as a sport like football, baseball, and all that. Obviously, as athletic moments, I know we've had this conversation before where it's like I view it more as like an awesome scene in an action film or just an awesome story that's also got action in it and athletic moments. But it's hard for me to always say. The minute you start looking at it as a sport, that's when... Then people have that argument of, oh, it's already predetermined, and I could get that, because it's like, what sport other than boxing is predetermined?
Well, talk to Pete Rose. You're right. I mean, talk to Pete Rose, too. Honestly.
But you know what I mean? So it's like, it's always a tough thing, but I mean, as far as popularity with like social media presence, it's up there, man. It's on another level. On Wednesday, it was dominating all the social media trends. Like the top 10, 7 of them were wrestling-based.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is right in the middle of baseball playoffs.
Well, and this is what I'm saying. And you're right, Steve. I'm not comparing it as sport to sport. I'm comparing it as entertainment because that's what football, baseball, basketball, hockey, so they're forms of entertainment as well. And baseball used to be the national pastime. It's still its moniker in some circles. But, I mean, it's had erosion over the years. And this is why when people start yapping, I was like, look, you got to make something entertaining. And you
chair shots.
You.
Seventh inning chair shots.
Seventh inning chair shots. Well, listen, there's, you know,
tune in.
We were just talking about the fact
I
that.
I totally would.
I don't know who's going to do it, brother. My buddy and I were out, one of the guys, Tom, that works here, and he made a great point. I'm a purist, but he said there's nothing more exciting than five-game series. He goes, I wish they were all five-game series. And I thought.
We had the same conversation at the urinal. It was awesome, me and Tom.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
No, true, though.
Yeah. And as a, as you, I wasn't sure if you were telling a joke or not.
No, I was serious.
And I'm sitting there listening to that, and I'm like, you know, yeah, it's because in a five-game series, anything can happen. Seven games, it tends to even out. But a five-game series is short enough that a team has a chance, even if they're not the best team, but they can make it work. And I thought, you know, as a purist, maybe I'm behind. Maybe actually the excitement that everybody's feeling over these five games, you know, first round of these series, maybe that is the way to go. So just something to keep in mind when I see how exciting wrestling is and all the, you know, the adjustments that wrestling's made. Maybe the MLB's got to think about it. Maybe we should only have a five-game World Series and five-game, you know, league championship series.
And chair shots in the seventh inning.
And chair shots in the seventh inning. I'm open to anything, buddy.
And instead of extra innings, they put the baseball on top of a ladder, and it's a ladder match to determine who wins if it goes into extra
innings.
Can you
become commissioner of baseball, please? Yes. Or at least the MLB?
That would be pretty funny. All right, here's a big question that needs to be answered.
It sounds like a Trey Parker and Matt Stone.
It really does.
Oh, basketball too. Yeah.
Yeah. Rescalate ball, right? Basket wrestling? I don't know.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. Ryan Castle, we got a question about him. What does he and Angelina Jolie have in common? You're going to find out at 9:50 on The Rock.
BJ and Migs, mornings on The Rock, 99.9 KISW. He's the drunk in charge. Now, the Ryan Castle question of the day.
What do Ryan Castle and Angelina Jolie have in common?
I'm a Tomb Raider.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
Yeah. Likes to date the old ones.
It's a euphemism.
Yeah.
Hide this text. Both are international sex symbols.
All right.
Mmm.
Canada counts. That's international.
Sure is.
I got people up there.
Both have swapped blood with Billy Bob Thornton.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Give me some of them French fried potatoes.
Yeah. And both have an ass that won't quit.
All right.
You're very complimentary.
Yeah.
Thanks. My mom's in town.
Yeah. Oh, very nice.
She figured out how to text.
Yep.
Yeah.
She's got thumbs.
So Elle Fanning, who is Rob Schneider's kid, the singer, right?
No, that's Elle King.
Elle Fanning, I don't know who she is. I guess an actor.
Dakota Fanning's sister.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. She's in Maleficent.
Oh, she went paintballing with Angelina Jolie. That makes sense. Why? Because so is Angelina. I guess Angelina Jolie, huge paintball fan, super aggro.
Awesome.
Had no idea.
That somehow does not surprise me.
I hope she dresses as Tomb Raider when she does that.
Yes.
That's a fantasy I never knew I needed until now.
It's pretty hot.
Yeah. Speaking of fantasies you never knew you needed, Ryan Castle. He's up next with your Morning 12 bag.
BJ and Migs play of the day.
The best is, though, just whenever you go to those conferences and conventions and you forget to take your name tag off when you just, like, leave and go into the wild.
Yeah.
So, like, I'll be walking around the streets of Chicago and I'm, like, going, like, to the Chicago Blackhawk store and I'm like, great. And I'm looking around and the person was like, do you need any help, Steve? And I'm like, how the hell do you? Damn it. That damn name tag's still on.
My parents sent me out this way so people will make friends with me.
DJ and Migs, mornings on The Rock, 99.9 KISW.
Today's podcast was brought to you by Travis Gagne, bankruptcy attorney. Here's another question from a listener. If I file for bankruptcy, do I have to appear in court? That makes me nervous.
Going to court is never something that's easy to do. However, when you file bankruptcy, you usually only have to attend one hearing at the courthouse. Of course, I'll be there with you. And when you go to court, it's not before the judge. It's actually with the trustee or the trustee's attorney. One of the things that's critical in a bankruptcy is that you give your attorney and the court all of your information. You list all of your assets and all of your creditors. That's what we're trading for your discharge, is your true and honest disclosure of your assets and liabilities. And so the court hearing is just usually about a five-minute deal where you show up and reaffirm and swear that all the information you've given the court and your attorney is correct.
Thanks, Travis. If you have more questions about bankruptcy, you can reach out to Travis anytime at ChooseTheRightChapter.com. That's ChooseTheRightChapter.com. Thanks for listening.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.